are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, my friends, it's November 7th. It's a beautiful day here in the Philadelphia market, and I have an exciting guest sitting here with me. So I want to first start with prayer, because we always begin this prayer, and I'm finally back in the studio, so it is wonderful to be live with you. So let us begin with prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we offer up this program to you, this month of the Holy Souls. We pray for all our family members who are in purgatory today. We pray that you have mercy on them and bring them into your heavenly glory. We pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother that this powerful outreach will touch hearts and the lives of people who are listening today in unique ways. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, I am so excited. I think it's been almost 2 years since I've been back in the studio doing the radio broadcast from a remote location. So I would not think of a better person to have live with me in the studio today than Rob Benedict. If you've seen some of my social media, you've been seeing, who in the world is Rob Benedict? Because I have spent, oh, I don't know how many hours on a beach in Maryland with Rob and his beautiful wife and family. And it's through his inspirational sharings of the power of touching the lives of families and touching the lives of teens and young adults through his Catholic journey and his coaching that I was inspired to bring him into the studio today. So welcome, Rob Benedict, and I want to tell you who he is. He is a scientist, and he works in Delaware. He has been a professional coach for colleges and high schools and wrestling coach, and now he's the head baseball coach at Cardinal O'Hara High School and soon-to-be wrestling program that he initiated back at Cardinal O'Hara High School. He is a husband, father, grandfather, and friend. So, Rob Benedict, we have a really big topic to talk about today, and that's young people, you know, from teens, young adults. How in the world are we to train up our young people to be Catholic leaders on the sports field? Is it possible?
First of all, thanks, Ann, for having me. This is awesome. I'm really glad to come out today and talk to you. So, that answer is a really hard answer. I think you got to know who you are, number one. I think you have to understand what you can and cannot bring to the table. But most of all, I think you got to bring what you learned, what you grew up learning, the faith that you learned as a child, as a high schooler, as a college student, as an adult, and specifically as a parent. I think all those things really make a difference on everybody's coaching style, right? Everybody's not the same kind of coach. Everybody can be a lot different at how they bring things, how they talk to kids, how they communicate with kids. One of the lessons I learned a long time ago is always coach up and always coach real, right? Let them know, you know, everything there is to know that you can possibly teach them, mostly about how they conduct themselves, how they act on and off the field, regarding their academics. As a coaching staff, we do a really good job of keeping up with them with their academics, their outside life as well. We want them to be, you know, we talk to them specifically about, hey, listen, this is your baseball program. You own this program. Us coaches are here just not to screw it up. But we want to give you guys the keys to the castle, you know. And our teams take that very seriously. You know, we want them to honor, number one, their faith, their families, the school, and themselves. So that's kind of our principles that we build our programs on at Cardinal O'Hara and all the other Catholic institutions I coached at.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you had shared some of this with me during the summer, but you know, you just didn't become Rob Benedict extraordinaire overnight. And I'm sure your wife is listening and your family, but your parental upbringing, how you have structured your life and how you structure your leadership qualities and your sharing with young people. Were you raised to be this competitive, or, you know, well, who exactly is Rob Benedict?
Well,
I wish you could see him on his face at this point.
I grew up in a very competitive environment in a great, great neighborhood where we were given so many things by our parents, totally different than where we're at today, right? So there was no cell phones, there was no PlayStations, things like that. So we were literally out from the time we got home from school till my dad's whistle. My dad had the loudest whistle. So when my dad whistled, everybody just scattered from whatever game we were playing and everybody ran home. And our dads, they didn't interrupt us, so to speak, but they gave us everything we needed to be a success, if we wanted to be a success. I mean, my pitching coach, Joe Blythe, his dad's brother pitched in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. So we had the biggest yard. So my dad had Broomall Little League come build a backstop, a mound, and home plate to teach all the kids in the neighborhood how to, you know, pitch. And he taught us a knuckle curve, and we've been rolling with that pitch for, you know, since I was a little kid. And then my dad was a part of the Flanagan family, which were the number one and two lightweights in the world back then. So my parents put a big addition on in the basement. My dad put a ring in, heavy bag, speed bag, and taught all the kids in the neighborhood how to fight. So that's the nature of I got a lot of competitors because I was the littlest kid in the neighborhood. So I got, you know, my lumps. But it made me, you know, work harder, you know. And I think having a wrestling background put me in a whole nother area, because I was always the littlest guy growing up. I was like the first or second kid in the May procession line, you know, every year at St. Pius. And wrestling teaches you so many disciplines, you know, because you're out there on your own. So if you don't put the work in, you don't put the extra work in, you know, you don't train at the top level at the best you can possibly train, you know, you're not going to come out and be as successful as you can be. So that taught me a lot of life lessons, like my mom did, my dad did, you know, friends, you know, my coaches. I had tremendous coaching growing up. Our coaches, they could coach a lot different than we can coach today. You know, they could be physical. They could be, you know, you knew where you stood. You know, they didn't sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's how I thrived off of that. You know, I had a coach yell, curse at me from third base when I was taking too big of a lead. Could you imagine doing that today, screaming?
No.
But I loved it. I thrived off it, you know, and I take a lot of that I learned and apply that to the kids, because we were very successful youth programs growing up and then high school programs growing up. And you know, it's the foundation that I got to help me make a pretty okay coach.
Well, you're a scientist. And I have to say, that's quite a quantum leap from being a scientist to a coach. So, and a man of great faith. You're part of the Eddie Morris prayer group. You know, if farmers listening, he's one of these prayer warriors that's out there praying with everyone as well. So I'm picturing you right now at Cardinal O'Hara baseball field, which you said is now beautiful, and you've raised a lot of money to make it quite beautiful. Tell me about, if someone's listening and they have a young person who isn't that great, maybe they were like you, little, they're average, they don't feel like they're the big jock on the street, or even if it's a young woman listening who wants to play softball, talk to the parents or the grandparents right now who have that average kid who thinks, I'm not as good as so-and-so. What would you say to the family or to that young person to encourage them?
I think there's a lot of people like that, right? And I think that you don't know at this age where you're going to go for a lot of the youth, a lot of the kids in our program. Like, we've had some kids in the program that were okay, you know, and they became really, really good, you know. I think what we do, especially for incoming freshmen, unless we would have 40 kids, we don't like to cut freshmen because some of them might be my size, you know, smaller. But you know what? You can see they have abilities, and you want to, you know, see where that goes. You know, I grew 4 inches and 40 pounds after high school. So it's just, you have to give every kid an opportunity, right? And you got to see, you know, listen, not everybody's going to be a great athlete, great player, but everybody can be a great teammate. You know what I mean? Be a great friend, be a great mentor. There's so many things that are involved in making a good program. It's not just about the great athletes, you know, they got to have a great attitude. They got to have all the things that come with kind of being a leader. You know, you need to have those things. Talk about it all the time. You know, I think one of the things with the Phillies this year, right? They had role players, guys that were so-so, but they had fun. They were great teammates. And you saw that play out through the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's no different than, you know, little guys, little girls coming into high school, coming into that level. I think everybody needs an opportunity. Everybody needs to show what they have, work ethic, all the things that come along with just being, you know, a quality person. Because all these things are going to relate to how you are in life, right? So if you're a great teammate, you're probably going to be a great husband and a great father, great mother, great wife, all those things. And we talk a lot about that, you know. We're teaching the values in our program, whatever that program is, to be a great person at the end of the day. We want you to, when you leave here, we want you to go out and be a better person. Listen, I'm competitive as heck, right? I want to win a Catholic League championship. But what I've learned over the years is when I get a Christmas card or when we get different things or we have a little reunion or something, or one of the guys I coached with passed away suddenly, and we had an impromptu kind of reunion. We had 80 guys there coming from Texas and all over the place, and it was amazing. So you kind of found, you know, the value of what you bring. You know, my wife will be the first to tell you, why you got to coach this, why you got to coach that. And I think I think I'm supposed to do this, you know. And then she would start getting Christmas cards or something like this, mm-hmm. and she goes, you can't stop. You know, it's I think you're put on this earth for several reasons, right? And if something is making an impact and changing, hopefully changing kids' lives, then you don't stop. You got to keep doing it. And I love it. And I have a passion for it. And my coaches are the same. I got great coaches that are, listen, if I didn't show up for a week, nobody would know. they're that good. They, you know, I let my coaches coach. I don't coach my coaches. Whatever they decisions they make, you know, they know just as much as me, if not more. They're just great guys. They're great mentors, great leaders. I mean, any coach can have the pregame speech. That's not mine and mine only, because, like I said, they're as good, if not better, probably better.
Well, talk to the parents who may be listening or grandparents right now who they're putting a lot of money into their, for example, teenager or young adult on travel teams. And these teams of all the sports, not just baseball, have become incredibly competitive to the partying, you know, on the sidelines when the kids are working so hard and the parents think they're coaches. And how do you deal with a parent who's so competitive right now with their child that you're not playing my son or my daughter? How do you deal with these parents? Oh, you're speechless.
I'll tell you one thing. The parents and the families that have come to O'Hara, and I can speak to this from specifically from the baseball side, we got great parents and we got great families. And that's kind of what we kind of go out and try to get, right? Specific to your question, I talked to a lot of coaches. I talk to a lot of different people specific about travel ball and stuff like this. It's gotten to a point where it's kind of becoming, and I've been talking to a lot of college guys, it's kind of hurting the game to a certain extent, because we're, and I'll bring back the Phillies again because it was such a great example, where they were like, they look like you were in the College World Series. They were having so much fun on the bench, playing like, I swear, in college, it was awesome to watch. You know, whether they won or lost, that was so awesome. And I'm hoping so many kids got to watch that, because that's baseball, having fun. You got to have fun if you're playing baseball. And the travel programs now, there's so many of them, they're so competitive, it's kind of taking that team away. You know what I mean? Because you got, I'm dealing with some parents, and they're friends of mine. And, one kid's on three travel teams. I'm like, you know, hey, you don't want to get the kid burned out. You know, you want to have them want to play. You know, I love the change of the seasons, you know, growing up. You know, we recruit multi-athlete sports.
Multi-sport athletes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell us why.
Because one sport is so productive for the other sport. You learn everything from different sports. You're doing the same thing over and over again. You know, I guess it's okay, but we like kids to be well-rounded, to experience whatever sports. We have basketball players, soccer players, football players on our things. So we don't even do fall ball. Like, there's a fall ball league.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many kids playing the other sports, it'd be hard for us to mm-hmm. put a team together. We would put the team together. It would be freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, just to get enough kids to put out there and play, you know. And it wouldn't be competitive. So what we do a fall ball. Monday, Wednesdays, we do baseball. And Tuesday, Thursdays, they do their strength and conditioning. And this group of kids we have in the whole program is a special group. They work hard. They're up the field today. You know, they asked to leave up the one cage. So we left up the one cage because they still want to go up and hit. They still want to go do it. And I think that's more of what we want. Now, in terms of the parents, we make it pretty clear that, you know, we go by the 24-hour rule.
Which is what?
So, 24-hour rules, if you're really upset with us, take a minute to see it through.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to still come talk to us, we just ask, please talk to your son. Right? Because we don't not talk to the kids. Like, if you're out of the lineup today, I go up and tell you, hey, listen, we're going to have you sit down today. Nothing against you. You're struggling a little. Whatever the reason is. But it's not like a shock. They're sitting on the bench and they go up to look at the lineup and they're not in.
Yeah.
We communicate. Communicate is such a big thing mm-hmm. that I think a lot of gets missed sometimes. But I think communication is another skill that's going to be really valuable for the rest of your life, right? With your boss, your job, your spouse, your children, you know. And it's a two-way street. We allow the kids to respond. You know, we want the kids to come up. We want the kids to have open communications. Like, you know, hopefully everybody does with their children. You know, I always wanted my children to be able to come talk to me. I never wanted them to be hide stuff. And you know, if they were ever had any things going on, you know, hey, just come to us. You're not going to be grounded for 10 years. You know, if you can have that open line of communication, we want that with the team.
Well, what do you do with the hothead parents, though? You know, there are some parents that will really come out at you or any other coach angry. Like, I just spent X amount of dollars on lessons for my son or daughter, and they're really good because Coach so-and-so said they're good. How do you maintain your humility, Rob? I want to know how you and your coaches maintain your humility and show leadership to the kids on your team.
Humble honesty.
Humble honesty.
You can't lie to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, sometimes you just have to be honest. I mean, a lot of people aren't open and honest with those things. So a lot of these travel programs, and I got a lot of great friends that coach in them.
Oh.
You know, mm-hmm. I do. And we talk about it all the time. At the end of the day, they're still about making money, right? So, you know, if the kid's been going there for 5 years and he really or she really hasn't gotten a lot better, I don't see that open communication and go, hey, listen, you know, stop spending $90 an hour, you know? And it's so touchy. I mean, who am I to tell the parents that? I would, because I at some point I think, you know, I'm taking money. You know, I for whatever reason, and hopefully my wife went to the bathroom right now, I never charge for lessons. I just love doing it. You know, I had a cage turf in the backyard. Kids would come over. Team would come over. Hit, cook out, things like that. All about the team and the community, right? But, you know, you're going to get parents that get a little crazy. But, you know, you got to kind of humbly get your point across without getting them all riled up and getting them, you know, screaming and yelling. I've been super fortunate that I really have avoided that.
Oh, good.
Most of my, you know, career in coaching. And I think a lot has to do with they see how hard we're working with every kid. Mm-hmm. So what I learned a long time ago, you got to work harder with the kids that aren't as good to get them to be contributors to your lineup, to your program.
But you make them feel important.
Oh, I mean, every kid, yeah. Like right now, our fall thing is freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors. There is no, I'm this, you're that.
Mm-hmm.
They're all one. And that's our program. We're all one. We're not segregating anybody. We're Cardinal Higher Baseball. You know, it works. So we had our field day Saturday, and the parents and the kids come up and we take down the windscreen and the sign ads and the cages and every other thing. We clean up and get the field ready for next spring. And we had a great turnout. And I got great moms that do a great job with helping us raise money. I got some great boosters guys that have been around for 25 years, being the boosters of the baseball program. They do a phenomenal job. The parents do a phenomenal job of kicking in. And I'm telling you, we must have had 25 kids, 20 parents on Saturday. We were in and out of there in under 2 hours. They brought pretzels, Gatorades, Waters. It's I can't say enough about our little baseball community and how everybody contributes. It's not, you know, we don't have this, we don't have this. They're phenomenal. We got a really, really good group of kids from freshmen through seniors. They're all in it, and they're all part of it. You know, they're, like I said, we want everybody to understand, you know, like if a freshman makes varsity, you're not a freshman anymore. You're a varsity baseball player. And they have that expectation, like they're not getting treated as a freshman, you know. So we'll probably have some underclassmen that'll be captains this year, along with some seniors, you know. And the captain thing isn't a huge thing for our program because we want everybody, like I said, it's their program. Mm-hmm. The coaches are just here not to screw it up, and I truly mean that, you know. We're here to give them everything they need to be successful, not just in baseball, but life.
Well, if you're just tuning in, our special guest today is Rob Benedict, and we're talking about sports, competitive sports, how to train up, coach up our young people to be leaders, to be competitive at their very best, and also to be teammates, and for the families to participate and to be part of this beautiful community that is building. We're talking to Rob. He's the head coach of baseball at Cardinal O'Hara Ice High School in Springfield, Pennsylvania. If you're tuning in from around the world, it's Springfield, Pennsylvania, and we are pleased to have him with us. If you want to call after our commercial break, we may open the lines, if that's okay with you, Rob.
Sure.
610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Rob, I'm so fascinated by this subject. I mean, I've done a lot of research over the years, and I know that they're actually sports psychologists for the pros who have been worked over from 9 years old and up. And talk to our listeners right now. I mean, do you really see a need for sports psychologists coming down the road for these kids?
That's a really
loaded question.
It's a funny question.
Okay.
So my son, Rob, at his college, Doc Musco, I might be pronouncing it slightly wrong, was that guy for the Red Sox.
Oh, my goodness.
And my son Rob learned a ton from him. Because baseball is a game, I think, unlike a lot of other games, and I hate using this, but, you know, you fail, you know, 3 out of 10 times, and you're a Hall of Famer, right? So it's a game of failure in so many ways. But it's also a game of ecstasy when you get a hit, knock in the winning run, make the winning catch, throw the winning strike, you know? It's just euphoria, right? So understanding that you're going to fail a lot in baseball, how do you take that in? And how do you process that, right? So, you know, and we talk to the kids about this part. We don't call it psychology, but how you conduct yourselves, right? You never know who's watching, right? You know, umpires aren't your best friends. So understand that, get used to it, and don't complain. If there's a problem, the coaches will take care of that. You hustle out of the box, get back, you know, in the dugout. You know, we play a pretty good schedule where maybe not our kids getting seen, but there's other kids getting seen. We've had, you know, Malvern with Lonnie White play a home game at ours, and it was during the pandemic coming out of it, and I got a call from St. Louis Cardinals head scout. Hey, are we allowed to be at it? I said, listen, we're playing here. We're allowed to have fans. I'll set up an area for you guys to watch the game. We went down to Myrtle Beach, and we faced this guy, Will Bednard, who won the College World Series last year. He was throwing 96. And telling our guys, hey, there's going to be everybody and everybody here. So get a couple hits off. Then maybe they'll write your name down. But the psychology part, you just want to have them understand, how do you process what happens? How are you going to handle it? You know, if you go 0 for 8, you know, what are you going to do? You can't let it get in your head. Because one thing is constant. If you're not having fun and you are in a slump and you can't kind of laugh sometimes and move past it, you're going to continue to be in a slump. So we try to, you know, and all our coaches are accessible to extra work, extra BP, extra grounders, whatever it is. Sometimes it's get away. You know, put the bat down, get away, you know, take a day off, you know, go do something, go whatever, just to clear your mind. You know, sometimes that's the best thing you can do. So the psychology part, I think, is, you know, especially at the highest levels, right? You know, I think it's for some people to understand how to process. I don't think you need your own personal psychologist, but maybe some people do. But I think it's an understanding of how to process things, how to move past things quickly, because you really need to do that in a sport like baseball. And, you know, but that's my thoughts.
Well, your thoughts are great thoughts, Rob.
Thanks.
When we come back after the break, which will be in a minute, I want you to share somewhat of the faith journey, you know, how your baseball team could be different than a public school baseball team, someone listening in the country right now, how you have set Cardinal O'Hara aside. What makes Cardinal O'Hara so unique, which is a large Catholic school in the Philadelphia region, by the way, for boys and girls, and they have multiple sports. And I wanted Rob to talk, you know, en masse about the psychology of sports and leadership and the strategy, but we're also going to enter in after our commercial break, which I ask you, my friends, to stay with us, about the spirituality. Is it a spirituality developed at Cardinal O'Hara or the Catholic high schools? And what would you recommend to someone who's listening, a grandmom or pop-pop or father or mother? We ask that you stay with us, and after this break, we'll be back with some more exciting information with Rob Benedict.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit. bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. And our special guest today is Rob Benedict, scientist, head football. I have you on football now. Baseball coach at Cardinal O'Hara High School. He's starting the wrestling program back up at Cardinal O'Hara High School. And he is a husband, father, grandfather, person extraordinaire, and we are thrilled to have him with us today. We're talking about sports, you know, how people get very competitive, the kids, and how we sometimes take them down the wrong lane. And we're going to look to Rob to really instruct us and our listeners today about the spiritual walk. This is a Catholic radio network, and you are a Catholic man and a Catholic family. How in the world do you impart any Catholic values right before a game, or you want to scream at the kids because they're not hitting or they're losing? How in the world do you impart Catholic values?
For me, mostly I do. Sometimes I'll fail, you know. Depends on how close the game is now. But what we try to do is, again, we just try to give them the principles of what it means to be a good person, you know, what it means to pray, what it means to talk to God. I think that's a lesson that's probably not talked about enough out in society anymore, unless you go to church, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's our job is to bring back, you know, I don't know, you know, for me, I think I know. Because all these kids are good kids. So I would guarantee they're all good families doing great things. But I don't know that for a fact. So I think it's as a Catholic school coach, I think it's part of your job to talk about God, to pray before and after practice, you know, to instill those things in them. Because there are values that they'll get, you know, that they'll take with them for the rest of their lives. We hope, right? So we don't initiate the prayer. The kids initiate the prayer. We're all involved in it, but that's something that our program really instills. We go away to Myrtle Beach. So our itinerary, and it was so funny last year, a couple other Catholic school coaches were down there, and they're calling me Goody Two Shoes because we schedule Mass at 4:30 mm-hmm. on Saturday. So we give the kids off on Saturday to just go out and hang out and do their thing. And we stay on the beach, and then we get together, we go to Mass, and then we go out to dinner, and then they got till 10 o'clock or whatever curfew time. And that's the night where we watch the wrestling championships. And, you know, they're like, you guys are really going to Mass? I'm like, yeah. We're like, Cardinal O'Hara High School.
What? Mass?
Yeah. Oh, we didn't put that in our itinerary. I'm like, I said, we do. You know, just because that's who we are, right? We're a Catholic school. We're not baseball coaches, right? We are, but that's secondary. We're Catholic high school coaches in a Catholic school, and we got to act as that. So we do, and we want to. Yep.
Well, I know that you live out your faith with your wife and your family and how important it is, and I know that you have coached in secular places where you probably couldn't even talk about prayer, and you had to impart your leadership and your Christian values and how you act. Actions speak louder than words. But I'm trying to dig deeper into this spiritual journey, because say you've worked your heart out, Rob, and you've spent all this time outside of your job and forming these kids. Do you go home at night and are you mad at God? Or what happens to Rob Benedict? I would love Liz to call in and tell us. But what happens to you? Can you maintain that peace and that level of trust? Or do you really get ticked off at the kids and the parents?
One thing that God has given me, and it's probably my best asset, when I leave the field, I leave it. I don't bring it home to my wife or to my kids, because they don't deserve that. You know, my wife will attest to it. She's an amazing, amazing person for allowing me to do this for so many years. Fridays, I leave it. You know, so for I don't know how many years, Friday nights we go out to dinner, Saturday nights we go out to dinner, Sunday nights our family dinner. I don't think it's fair to them to have to listen to me, you know, complain or something about the player or a parent. My wife will tell you, and I do the same thing with work. My wife, if you asked her right now what I do for a living, he works at some science company. And that's great.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I love that. One thing I will tell you, coaching today, especially today in Catholic education, or if there's any parents out there or grandparents or anybody, it's so valuable on what our society is becoming in terms of just where it's going. The values that Cardinal O'Hara and the Catholic schools still hold true to their hearts. You know, accountability, you know, your faith, understanding yourselves, you know, doing the right thing. You know, you do something wrong, you're going to be held accountable. You know, all these values are what our children need, as well as their parent support. You know, and if you talk to any one of our parents, you know, they love being at O'Hara. They love everything it brings. It's, for me, I was way back in, you know, St. Pius, graduated in 79, O'Hara. You know, it's almost the same, you know, just not 4,000 students, you know?
Oh, yes.
Right. But it's the same principles, the same values. And I applaud O'Hara for maintaining that and not falling to pressure and those type of things. And I think that's a really, really valuable lesson that these kids can learn. And I think, you know, our enrollment's going up every year and we have to cap it. And we've now academically, you know, we have to unfortunately turn away some students that don't meet the academic requirements, which I value, because I think we need standards to meet, you know, to live up to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we're bringing in a lot of kids. We're bringing in a lot of good kids. We've made a conscious decision to recruit families and not just kids.
Oh, I love this. Explain
that. So I think you need the family atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I grew up in.
Right.
And I was telling you earlier about, we have these friends and we go over there for CCD and our kid's 21, you know, because they're great. They grew up with my daughter.
Yes.
You know, and then our son and then our next son. And it's these relationships that we've had over the years that are, they can't be made up. They're tremendous relationships that we've valued and we created, you know, from the time my kids were in, you know, preschool.
Well, guess who's on the line? I hope I have this right. Eddie Moe.
Hey,
your buddy's Eddie. Here in the studio.
I know, man. Stole my spot.
Well, you're next. So what do you think?
Oh, man. Unbelievable, man. What a great show, and I'm always so proud of Rob, the great work he's doing there, and I had a prayer service a couple weeks ago, and he brought his team there, 60 people. And
you did.
I mean, you want to talk about, I mean, that answers all. He's having a tough time. He's such a humble guy. He's not answering the questions that you're asking, but he brought 60 kids to the prayer service and prayed in church for 2 hours.
I mean, wow.
That's how he does it. He's unbelievable.
Thanks,
well, you know, the Lord led us together, and when we found out we're both mutual friends of Eddie Morris, we thought, how can this be? I was thinking of you when he was talking about Cardinal O'Hara. I was thinking, if Eddie Moe's listening, he's thinking, you've got to mention Archbishop Carroll High School, John Carroll High School. And I said, whoa, two competitors. But,
Now,
what do you think, Ed, about the spirituality of the Catholic school and sports? I mean, you've lived it. You've coached it as well. Rob's dead on, right? He's right on.
Oh, big time. I mean, coaching is so fun. And, you know, I loved how Rob said that he never really has any grievances with parents and all that. The answer is probably is because the kids are having such a good time. Baseball is like secondary to the time they're having. Mm. It is a great community. They're having fun. And there's so many ways to win. You know, they have to score the game. But maybe the great ball players are mentoring the lesser ball players, so they're learning how to be role models and leaders. Maybe there's a kid on the team that wants to be a journalist one day, so he could write an article about the team. You know, maybe there's a kid on the team one day wants to be a doctor, and if someone gets injured, he can work with the trainers and all that. There's just so many ways to win, and Rob finds them. So the game is great, but you know, the kids are having a great time, and they're a real team, and they'll always identify with being part of our baseball for their whole lives. I mean, today, all my best friends in my life, I played baseball with when I was a Cub Scout, 6 years old. And I'm 64, and we're still buddies. So baseball's a funny sport that way. Tremendous camaraderie. And, it's just a great thing he's doing. He's the best.
Well, I agree. What do you think about that, Rob?
I'm humbled, Eddie. Thank you very much.
Eddie, mm-hmm. You're next. I'll be calling you up.
All righty.
All right. Thanks for calling, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
Go O'Hara.
That was hard for you.
That was hard for you, Ed.
Well, you know, it's funny. It really isn't because, you know, in the end, I mean, growing up and playing for Carroll and, you know, the competition, it was hard years ago. But you get older and you realize the benefit these kids can get. And it really, it's a Philadelphia Catholic league. It is one big league. And, you know, the games are competitive and all that. But in the end, I know – Joe DiBarberi over Bonner and Carroll coach and Rob and me, and we all see the big picture is helping these kids get a faith, maybe through baseball. But the big picture is it's one big Catholic league. And you want to help these kids get something, like Rob said earlier. You don't hear a lot out there. No one really talks about the faith. But, heck, these kids down the road, when we all get older, they're going to call Coach Benedict up and say, hey, I'm married. I got a couple kids. We're going to church. And I remember what you told me in 2022, and I'm doing it with my life now. So there's the big gifts way down the road.
Speaking of gifts, I talked to Eddie about starting wrestling back at O'Hara.
Yeah.
And Eddie offered to help us.
Oh, I've got to watch this.
Yep.
The Benedict Morris team and wrestling.
So that tells you what Eddie's all about.
Oh, yeah, Eddie. Eddie.
Well, I mean, the wrestling program stopped, and now it's going to start up again.
It's official,
so,
Eddie.
Just like baseball, the kids are going to build their faith up through wrestling and O'Hara in a whole nother way, and I totally support that.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. It's a whole new audience of kids and families that both of you can touch
yep.
in a powerful way. Well, thank you, Eddie Morris, for calling
right.
in, and I will be in touch.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
See
God
you,
bless you.
Bye
bye. Wow. How about that? I hope I turned it off correctly. It's been a while. Again, if you're just tuning in, our special guest today is Rob Benedict. We're talking about sports. You know, as as we've been talking about how we train the teens and the families and integrate spirituality and good leadership qualities and the competitive healthy spirit, the competitive healthy spirit. And then, of course, we have our Eddie Morris, guy extraordinaire, call in, who knows you well. And you brought 60 kids to a prayer service, 60 kids from your baseball
team. And their parents.
From the baseball team?
Mm-hmm. And their parents.
Did you take a bus?
No. We all met outside in the parking lot and then went in and took a section and sat down. And Eddie puts on such an amazing prayer service. So it was funny when I was first talking to the kids about it. And I can see in their faces, are we just going to be saying prayers for 2 hours? And I'm like, no. You're going to have really good speakers. They're your age, some of them. And they're going to tell a little bit about their story. And their story is based on Eddie comes up with a theme for the prayer service that month. And you got Chico's Vibe playing music between, and you'll enjoy the music, and you'll feel like you were there for 30 minutes. And they came out, and they were all touched. They were like, this was awesome. This was really good. I didn't expect anything like this. And the cool thing was, which nobody knew who it was, Bernie Parent came.
Mm-hmm.
So that was awesome. But he does such a great job with that and bringing people together from the day that Lefty got sick to what we have now with the Warriors, the Lady Warriors, the 50, 60 groups I think they're up to now.
Yeah.
And it's, I love being a part of that. I loved being a part of what Tony Molinetti started way back with Children of the Father Foundation, which was really, really awesome. You know, it was helping kids without fathers and helping those type of families out. And they did great work with that. And, we've been friends for a long time through the faith. That's how we met. We didn't meet on the sports fields or anything like that. Mutual friends brought us together. And in fact, his dad and my mom were in the hospital at the same time, right before they passed.
Oh, my goodness.
And we ran into each other in the hallway.
Yeah. Providential.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just think, Rob, that you'll be back here a lot more. I'll have you and Eddie together, you know, and to share many stories of faith. But I love hearing you had 60 kids and their families at a prayer service.
Well, total of 60 total, so probably that's 25 kids and 25 parents, something like
and
that.
And what was the response of the parents seeing their kids go?
No, they loved it. They loved it. And Mike Connor, our president, was there and didn't even know we were going to be there.
Really?
Yeah, he was there, Lily Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for Lily. It was great. It was great, you know, to see Mike there supporting, you know, Lily and being part of the prayer service and then having the baseball guys there. And Bonner sent a bunch of their guys. Carroll sent a bunch of their guys. So Eddie put it out as a baseball theme for that night.
Oh, okay.
So it was really cool, you know. And it was cool watching the kids support each other, the teams.
So how do you translate what happened at that prayer service back onto the field? Did you do a transition into the field, or you just let it resolve with the kids and work it out?
I let it resolve with the kids. We talked a little bit about it on when you think your life is tough because you went 0-for-3.
Yeah.
Look what people are facing every day.
Cancer.
You know? Kevin McGonigal, who's a super stud for Bonner, great kid, quality kid, did a really nice job with his talk. So I thought that was really good. They got to see him as a person versus as we hate you, Bonner. You know,
yes.
And getting to know him,
mm-hmm.
you know, off the field. Because I tell our kids all the time, he's a quality kid. He works hard. He does the right things. He lives life the right way. You know, he's here for his faith. You know, being one of the speakers. And, you know, that's kind of where we want to aspire to, right? We taking that step, being a leader, being influential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about baseball. There's a lot of other things in life. So if you do go 0-for-3, process it. You know, think about it, say a prayer about it. You know, there's so many ways to process things. But for me, faith in God's probably your number one answer.
Well, do you think a book is en route from your heart? You have so much information and stories. even if you wrote little vignettes and chapters, you know, just some of the stories. You don't have to be a prolific writer. You're a scientist. But just put the stories down.
That's math.
Oh, okay. That's right. What do you think?
I never thought about it.
You and Eddie get together and write vignette stories, a chapter at a time. And just tell the story, one chapter, and then put it together, and then you have some inspiration, a legacy to leave these kids.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been so lucky and so fortunate to have a great wife and family and, mm-hmm. and had great parents and a lot of people that were very influential in my life. You know, my wife and I were married at 20 years old and had a daughter. And I couldn't picture any way other than how we did it and what we did and the support we had from many different people. And, you know, and my kids are fantastic. They're you know, raising their kids now. You know, so now I'm the guy that, you know, goes to their games, their wrestling matches.
Oh, my.
And I love it. During the pandemic, there was kind of underground wrestling.
and there's underground everything.
Yeah. You know, and getting to coach my grandson and a bunch of other kids. And it's awesome. I'm just blessed and lucky. And, you know, anything I can give back is, you know, I owe that. You know, that's what I'd love to do. And that's why I think I do it. And I'm so, so lucky with my job and the company I work for them to allow me to do
yes,
it.
Yes.
That's so huge.
Yes.
You know, or I wouldn't be able to do it. You know, I mean, I'm usually home by 2 p.m. Then I can do some work from home from that point. But for my company over all these years, cause I've been there 37 years to, have the opportunity to do that. And for them to value that is, huge. Just huge.
Well, you know, I've had Eddie in here maybe 5 or 6 times and on the radio when I go on remote. And now I'm hearing your story. We just can't let you guys do a one-shot radio interview. No, and to think about the young people that you brought to his prayer service and, he, you know, the friends at Bonner. I remember last year Eddie said he brought a lot of kids from Bonner. And you got to share this story. We're sharing it on the air, but there's a bigger story to share. You know, to give hope, there's some coaches that are alone that may be really suffering. Like, I can't get my kids to go to church, or I can't get my kids to pray, or their families, they can't put a meal on the table. You know, I don't know how to do this, Rob or Eddie. What do I do? You know, some, not that you're going to become a sports psychologist, but to share your faith journey, to share some of the kids talking to them. There are coaches and kids that have no one, you know, they have no equipment, they have nothing. And so how can you address these coaches who are just volunteering, you know, with little time and little money to get things done? How can you impart your story? And it's not just through a radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just that. I see this as a bigger picture of something forming. You have so much to share. You have so much to share. And Eddie, you know, he's about 5 years worth of radio programs, the stories.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Yep.
But you are so rich in your faith and with your family. I've seen your faith and I've seen your family. I've been with your family. And so blessed. But again, you're very open to sharing your faith journey and the beauty of a Catholic education or, quote, a Christian education.
Yeah, I just think it's really, really important at this time in our
cultural history.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I really do. I think, you know, we got to get back our values. We got to get back, you know, talking to God's, praying to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say a prayer. Have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to, you know, tell my kids that, you know, just take the time, you know, but I think having a good starting foundation is really key, you know, and I think the Catholic education, gives you that. Mm-hmm. I think what the Catholic organization, the Catholic educational system did during the pandemic was outstanding. You know, I know, give you an example, my youngest, he went to Marple, and during the pandemic, he got a packet sent home on Mondays. So I figured O'Hara was doing the same thing, because this was in the off season, right? Well, it actually wasn't the off season. We were 3 days away from going to Myrtle Beach, and everything got shut down. And O'Hara, they had classes. They weren't in school, but they had the regular class schedule. So our strength and conditioning coach, he said, "Oh, I'll do a Zoom. We'll do, you know, mm-hmm. why don't we do it at 9 o'clock?" So I sent it out to the team. Hey, 9 o'clock Zoom, strength and conditioning. And they're like, "We're in class." And I'm like, "What?" I just thought everybody did what Marple did.
Right.
And it was so valuable. And what I think really helped out was how many people started saying, "You know what? I can't have my kid at home doing this. They need to get." And I think the Catholic schools benefited from that. And mm-hmm. I think people started to see what the Catholic schools offer in terms of faith and all the other things that go with that, the accountability, the things we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we got to keep that rolling. I think we got to get that message out there, especially when you hear these horror stories, you know, about what they're teaching and mm-hmm. CRT and all these other things. Mm-hmm. I think we need a lot bigger marketing plan, a lot bigger focus on, you know, why do you want to send your kid there? Or why should you send your kid there? I think that's really, really important of a plan. And at the end of the day, I don't like to say this, but it is, it's become a business to some extent,
mm-hmm.
you know, to keep the Catholic schools open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got to play to that business side and come up with a really good marketing plan. Why should I send my son or daughter to Catholic school? Even if you're not Catholic.
Right. Oh, really? You can send, it doesn't matter? Oh, really? That's interesting. I didn't know
that. But the good part is you still take religion.
Yeah, you have to take the classes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So it's, I think it could work.
Well, Rob Benedict, didn't this hour fly by?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. I have.
You were amazing.
I thank you for taking time, and we'll be doing this again.
Okay.
And I thank you for taking the time. And, you know, I know there's always a rebroadcast, and I thank you. And we will pray for your players and your families to do well, and for you and your family to have an amazing season and holiday season. Right now, my friends, I want to just interrupt the program to tell you that Kathleen McCarthy is giving an Ad Lumina retreat from tonight till Friday morning at Malvern Retreat House with Father Dermot Roche. It will be amazing. So let's just keep her in our prayers and all the people who will be attending this retreat. And I ask also that you remember that this particular radio network, the commercial's wrong, has been on over 50 consecutive years on a volunteer basis.
Wow, that's awesome.
Only one person is paid, and that's the administrator. Everyone from the engineers to the broadcasters to everyone behind the scenes, it's all volunteer for 50 plus years. So let's keep the ball rolling.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's keep the ball rolling. This is international. And we thank you for supporting this radio network. We ask that you continue to support this radio network. It is a network that we need. It's In His Sign Catholic Radio, 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, Pennsylvania, 19010. That's 136 Garrett. It has two R's in it and two T's, Avenue, Rosemont, Pennsylvania, 19010. It's tax deductible. It's a 4013. I hope I said that correctly. And I pray that you will be very generous this Christmas season, Advent season, for this powerful network to continue. Next, we have the infamous Joe Trainer coming on. So, my friends, it has been a pleasure with you being with you today. And Rob Benedict, until next Monday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.